May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you have a Bible, or if there may be one in front of you, a red one in front of you, I'm just going to look again at this announcement to Mary and see some unique things the Holy Spirit, I think, wants us to hear. So I'm just going to skip around a few places. This is verse 26. Now, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And it goes on and explains to her that she's going to give birth to the Messiah. And Mary's response to the angel in verse 34 is, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. For nothing, not one word that God speaks will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Earlier in chapter 1, it says, and also John, even in his mother's womb, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." This is the second time. One, the angel Gabriel said, "And you are blessed among women." And here Elizabeth prophesies and says, "You are blessed among women." I don't think that just means that there's just favor on your life, because he's already said that. But he's talking about, and she's talking about, this particular instance, that she would be the one chosen to carry the Messiah and give birth to the Son of God. And in this sense, there's a blessing that's come on you. And so Gabriel said, there's favor on your life, the Lord is with you, but you're blessed. This is a blessing's coming on you in terms of the purposes of God. And then the Holy Spirit says it again as Elizabeth gives prophecy, "You're blessed among women. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." And again, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." This is an interesting scripture, and it's so simple, but it gives us such insight into how life in the Spirit works. One of the interesting things to do is to go through this first chapter and see how many times it talks about people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Early in the chapter, John filled the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Here it talks about Elizabeth being filled with the Holy Spirit. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. Talks about Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you." Just the activity of the Holy Spirit released to bring about the blessing of God in a perfect person's life. Supernatural thing. It was a supernatural thing. It wasn't a natural thing for Elizabeth to get pregnant. She had been barren and she was old, much like Sarah in the Old Testament. And yet supernaturally, she gets pregnant. Of course, Mary's pregnant supernaturally. John has an appearance of an angel. That's all supernatural when he's doing the work of a priest at the temple. The prophecies that come forth, the angel appearing to Mary. There's all this supernatural activity, and the Holy Spirit's just involved in all of it. Angels, the Holy Spirit, who, if you'll go back and read in Revelation, and again Ezekiel 1, is kind of directing everything that the angels are doing, the Holy Spirit is, and saying. And so here's this young girl, and there's this word of God spoken to her. Now she asks this very simple question, being that she was a virgin, and that was, "How can this be, since I've never been with a man? I'm a virgin." And he says, "Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and overshadow you. It's going to be called by God's name because God's going to do it. Nothing is impossible with God. Not one word that God speaks concerning your life or anybody else's life or any other situation is impossible." So here's the deal. God comes to her, gives her a word, and tells her how it's going to happen. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow your weakness and your inability to produce a child without being with a man. The Holy Spirit's going to do it. That's a great description of the Christian life. Christian life isn't easy. Christian life isn't difficult. The Christian life is supernatural. Therefore, to just human flesh, it's impossible. The daily Christian life is impossible apart from the supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit. And God gives us words as we spend time with Him, as we cultivate relationship with Him, because that's the way He keeps us fueled, keeps reminding us, oh yeah, I got this one too. I love this thing when it says in Zechariah's prophecy, when Zechariah in chapter 1 says, the Lord has visited His people and accomplished redemption. The word to visit there is He came really close and He looked into man's condition and He checked it all out and said, all right, I got this one. That's really what the word means. Whatever it is in your life, for the rest of your life, I got it. Because redemption means to take what's in slavery, to pay the price necessary so the debt's covered, to take it now out of slavery, own it yourself, and now everything that's part of you is part of it. God said, I got it. So the way the Holy Spirit activity works, the Lord promises, what do you do? And He's promised and already provided how He'll do it, the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's the key thing about Mary. Why Mary? Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her. It's very simple. You see, everything you need to live the Christian life supernaturally, you've already got. God's promises. No need to discover them for yourselves, but God's promises. By them we are partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter chapter 1. You got God's promises and you got God's provision, the Holy Spirit. All God needs is just a childlike faith. Because this is just a child. Maybe 15, 16, just a child. Remember 15 and 16-year-olds? They're just children. They're actually worse than little children because they think they're smart and they're just as dumb as a 4-year-old. They can just get into more faster. They're just children. And just childlike faith. Blessed is she who believed that there was a fulfillment. What if she had not believed? Then God simply would have chosen somebody else. Because for that thing to happen, for the blessing to be released, faith had to meet the blessing. You don't wait to see it, and you don't wait to figure it out. You just believe. But without the believing, there's no blessing. That's the way the Christian life works. The just live by faith. So I'm sure there are some things God's promised you, specific things. Holy Spirit's already there to fulfill it. God's waiting for you to stop wavering in unbelief so He can make it come to pass. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.